Each year, sometime in early December, I find myself drawn to one of the characters in the Nativity story. And each year, some new insights arise for me. Now, of course, I understand that the birth stories of Jesus are parables. They're not actual stories, actual facts. Parables are truthful in their meaning, in the meaning they can create for us even 2,000 years later. But they're not truthful in their factual accuracy. So certainly in 2001, the year my daughter was born, it was all about Mary. What a miracle to bring new life into the world. What an incredible miracle. Now, while the baby and Mary are still quite compelling, each year some other new character pops up. And this year, I can't stop thinking about those innkeepers. Right? And actually, there's no mention of them as people in either of the biblical narratives. But I imagine them in my mind and wonder what must have been going on for them as they saw Mary, oh, so big with child, and turned her and Joseph away. Of course, there was no room at the inn. There must have been hundreds of people traveling during that time to be registered, which I learned is also part of the parable, because you actually would not get registered by moving to the town you were born in. Registries happened where you lived. But that doesn't matter, because the image of all these people traveling, as told in the story, harkens to the image of millions of refugees, migrants, and homeless people in our world today, this very night, looking for a place to rest their head. The history of humankind is a history of migration. We are always moving, moving, moving. Our country was founded by mostly women willing migration from Europe and mostly forced migration from Africa. And today, over 13% of our population is foreign-born. We are just people. Our species likes to move around. And globally, right now, we know how horrific it is. This is the largest refugee crisis since World War II. And there's an estimated 65 million people being forced to flee their homes due to violence and conflict worldwide. Those are pretty horrific and huge numbers. So within this ancient story, within this parable, are time-honored questions about hospitality, about welcoming the stranger, and about power and control. To people of the first century, this story was all about a shift in power relationships. All those names that are used for Jesus in the Gospels, King of the Jews, well, that was the title of Herod the Great, the tyrant lord of Egypt, a man of violence and brutality, son of God, savior. Within Roman imperial theology, Caesar was called all of these. So when you see in these stories, in these parables, that they bring these words back in, King of the Jews, savior, wondrous Prince of Peace, they were all words and names for the current people in power. And so what the biblical story was telling us in the parable was that Jesus was coming to subvert all that. It was about power and control and shifting that. So the heralding of the birth of Jesus foreshadowed this importance and told a subversive story to first century listeners about power and about control. But then back to the innkeepers, back to the innkeepers, back to the innkeepers. They knew nothing of this when this very pregnant woman arrived at their door. They saw before them a tired pregnant woman and her very tired husband. What did they do? Were they cold and callous, shooing Mary and Joseph away, as they had all the other migrants on this journey to be registered? Did they avoid eye contact as they sent them on their way? Perhaps they put a sign on the door that just said, no room at the inn, and just didn't answer when people knocked. But it made me wonder, when do I avert my eyes from the suffering of the world and miss the possibilities of hope that might lie within? And when do I send an explicit or implicit message that there's no room at the inn for me? Now, since this is a parable, I use my moral imagination to think of the innkeepers in the light that I would like to see them in. I see them as a kind couple, either queer or straight, running a sort of Bethlehem bed and breakfast. They've seen the parade of travelers on their forced march to be registered, and the inn fills up quickly, and the people keep on coming. They wonder how they'll feed them all in the morning, and if they have enough, and if they have enough towels for their weather-worn, grimy bodies. They turn some away because they must. But then the couple arrives, and Mary is clearly having contractions. What can they do? They choose the only act of kindness that they can think of, to find them a spot in the stable. At least there will be a roof over their heads and some privacy for the holy act of birth. And then, of course, we know the story unfolds. A child is born, and through the miracle of birth, more hope, more joy, and more love are available to the world. Just by the miracle of that birth, because every human life has the possibility to bring more joy, more love, and more hope to our broken world. So as I think about these innkeepers, I wonder, how often are we asked to make room when we feel that we have none? How often would we rather avert our eyes, avoid contact to the messy parts of this journey of being human, the brokenness, the marginalization, the ugly, and the evil? But those innkeepers of my imagining, full as they must have been with all these people in their inn, still found a way to make room for hope. Because in every new life, there is new hope. So they got creative. It wasn't the picture-perfect birth story, that's for sure. I mean, can you imagine giving birth in a stable? Like, ah. Oh. But they found a way, right? They made it happen. So making room is not only about making room for physical space. In fact, I believe that it's mostly about spiritual space and an orientation of the heart. Now, within the next year, you may know that we are anticipating making room for our future through a building campaign, which will more than double the size of this building. We'll have more room for all sorts of things, all sorts of ways that are hope-inspiring and life-saving. But until then, we must not stop making room in our hearts. We cannot stop making room in our hearts, because the world needs hopeful people. Buddhist social activist and scholar Joanna Macy writes that hope is not something you have, it's something you do. It's something you do. She writes, active hope is not wishful thinking. Active hope is not waiting to be rescued by some savior or some building project. Active hope is waking up to the beauty of life on whose behalf we can act. Waking up to the beauty, and I would say the messiness and the ugliness of life as well, on whose behalf we can choose to act. So I would also add, it is seeing the pregnancy of each moment and working to live out its possibilities. So this coming year, let us open our hearts, staying present to both the pain and the promise before us, and find ways, many creative and messy ways, to bring our own version of subversive love into an aching world, and to make room for more hope in this world of wandering migrants. May this be our promise and our prayer.